Welcome to an inspiring message from Awaken City Church. For more information about us, visit awakencity.com.au.
Who was here for Good Friday and Easter Sunday? Yeah? How good was it? Like, really, how good was it? How good is God, hey? I think it's really important to remember that. You know, Chris was sharing in our pre-service prayer this morning, our prayer gathering, that not to just gear up and then kind of go back into the normal of things. You know, we get the opportunity to set the standard of going, okay, this is where we are, but we're not just going to take a step back and have a seat now, but we're going to go, yeah, okay, let's keep going, let's keep moving, let's keep pressing in and pushing forward, because we have the opportunity to do that, or we have the opportunity to take that step back and go, no, I'm okay. To just sit here and sit back and just relax back into how things were, instead of challenging ourselves to step into what is or what God wants to call us into. Father God, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for the opportunity to gather together, to worship you, to honour you, to bless you. And I thank you that I have the opportunity to stand here. I just ask that my words and thoughts would be clear and that it would go into the hearts of your people, that it would dig deeper into my heart and that it would just be planted and flourish. And we give you all the honour and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I was challenged this week. And I talk with Chris a lot. He's a very good listener. Very good challenger as well, but a good listener. And I was thinking about what to share about this morning, and you know, I'm still learning and growing and developing. And it's good to know that we're continuous learners and being open to encouragement and listening on how we can grow better. And talking with Chris about what I should share about this morning. And we landed on the thought of, we've just celebrated Good Friday, which it wasn't a time of mourning, it was a time of reflection. And then we led into Easter Sunday, which was a time of celebration at what Jesus had done. He was crucified, he was buried, he defeated death, and he rose again. And it's not something simple to just look at and go, well, I could do that any day. No, we could not. We could not have endured everything that Jesus endured and still be alive. I know for a fact that I probably wouldn't have survived the lashings that he received. My life would have been spent there. But now we have the opportunity to go, okay, he was risen from the dead. Then what? Then what? What happened from there? What happened after Easter? And so from there, we're going into Luke 24. So we're going to look at the road to Emmaus. It says, "Now behold, two of them were travelling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles, or in our terminology, about 11.2 kilometres from Jerusalem." Now, these guys were walking. They weren't on a horse. They weren't in a cart. They had sandals. They didn't have sneakers or anything like that. They would have either been barefoot or just sandals. So filthy feet, everything. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So they're walking to Emmaus, talking about everything that had just happened over Easter, everything that had just happened of Jesus' crucifixion and burial. So it was while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained. So their eyes were covered so that they did not know him. So Jesus intentionally came close to them, but covered their eyes so they didn't recognize him. Sometimes Jesus walks with us even when we don't recognize him. So we can be going through things and we can be calling out, God, God, where are you? And he is right there. He's right there. And sometimes our heart can see it, but our eyes can't. And so it's that leaning in to connecting the heart and the eyes. Okay, God, I'm in this. Where are you? Show me where you are. Open my eyes to recognize where you are and what you're doing in this situation. And it opens us up and changes us along the way. in verse 17, and he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you would have with one another as you walk and are sad? Sad. So these guys, they weren't the immediate disciples, the 12, but they were a part of the disciples that followed Jesus. So looking at that, they travelled with Jesus. Jesus always talked, he conversed, he always told them about what was going to happen to him, what was required, what was needed to happen. It wasn't that they weren't aware, maybe it was just that they couldn't actually grasp the reality of, yes, it literally needs to happen. Then one of those, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known these things which have happened in these days? Still not aware of who Jesus was. And he said to them, what things? What things? You know, Jesus was right in the center of it, like right smack in the center of it. Everything that happened in that time over those days happened to him. But he stopped and he said, what things? He wants to engage with us on a personal level. Jesus is very aware of us. He's very, very aware of us, but he loves to sit and converse. He loves to sit and commune. He loves to sit and hear the words come from your mouth. With my kids, even though I know, you know, a teacher may have contacted me through the day, this is how well Flinny's done in doing this, but I love for him to come and sit and tell me about it himself. It's like, I know what the teacher's told me, but you tell me from your heart and your perspective, what led to that? How did it make you feel? You know, what changed you in that moment and allowing it to flow out of there? He wanted to engage. Jesus is very patient, very patient. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all people. They're still in that zone of not quite making that connection that Jesus was the Messiah. He was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Just pause there and turn on. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. They were disappointed and discouraged. They had an expectation of who Jesus was and what he was going to do. The expectation was they didn't realise how low it was. Because Jesus smashed the expectation here. Because the expectation that and the standard that God had set was way up here. They just couldn't see that. So their low expectation was disappointed. It was unmet. Their expectation was, yep, Jesus is just going to come in. He's going to redeem Israel. How small-minded. Because Jesus' idea wasn't to come and redeem Israel. His idea was to come and redeem the world. So how small-minded is that? It's like looking at an anthill and going, I'm just going to save one ant and not the whole place. That, the frustration in that, the unmet expectations can be dislodging. They can shift us. They can give us an attitude in our heart. But until we shift our position to go, God, let me see how you see. Let me see how you see. And that can shift. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. The third day. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body, and they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. But him they did not see. They needed a fresh encounter. They needed a fresh encounter of Jesus to really understand who he was and what he had done. They needed a fresh encounter, but they were disappointed because they'd heard all these things, but they themselves had not seen Jesus. But he was walking with them. He was walking with them, but they did not see Jesus. Verse 25, then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded, he taught, he unpacked to them in all the scriptures, all the things concerning himself. So he didn't sit down with a scroll and go, right, let's sit down and do a Bible study. He literally brought their attention back to everything that was prophesied, everything that he had taught, everything that he had led into, everything that was prophesied about him and what would happen to him, that it was necessary, that it wasn't just something to think lightly of, but it was necessary and required for him to go through. But it says, O foolish ones, he challenged them, called them out on their lack of belief, called them out for just thinking so little and not believing in their heart. The cross was necessary. The cross was necessary, and they were broken. I grew up with an incredible mother, single mum. She's giggling now because I'm talking about her and she's right there. She raised four kids on her own, and I'm so incredibly grateful. So incredibly grateful for all the love, the sacrifice and support that she has given and continues to give. But growing up, there was something in my heart that was missing. I couldn't understand what it was when I was young, but as I got older, I just realized that there was a dad-shaped hole in my heart. My dad left when I was maybe, 7 or 8 months old. So I never grew up knowing my dad. I never grew up knowing who he was, what he did. All I knew was that he wasn't nice, he wasn't good to my mum, and that he was gone. So my mum raised us on her own. So I was broken. As I came into relationship with God, it took a long time of just God ministering to my heart to bring wholeness there. To bring wholeness so that I didn't try and draw what I needed from other people, from the people around me, that I didn't need somebody else to fill that void, that I couldn't draw it from my brothers, that I couldn't draw it from my mum, that I couldn't draw it from my family or friends or those around me. I could not draw it from anyone but God. And as I did that journey, as I leaned into God, he made me whole. And, I have a wonderful relationship with my dad now. Met him when I was 16. He came over last year and it was a wonderful time to spend to actually start to get to know him and for my kids to get to know him. But I don't draw from him. I draw from the Father. Jesus came to bring wholeness and healing. Now, what I didn't realise at the time was God did make me whole, but there was still a little bit of healing that I needed. And that healing came through my father-in-law. Of all places. Because funnily enough, when my father-in-law first met me, we didn't get along. He did not like me whatsoever. Now, I'd always prayed growing up, God, I'm not going to be one of those ones that just has a terrible mother-in-law, that I don't love my mother-in-law. And so I spent a lot of time praying into, God, I just want to have a great relationship with my mother-in-law. And I do, and I have done from the beginning. And it was through her love and grace that she swayed my father-in-law. But in that relationship building with him, with the challenging, with the him realizing that if I put my feet down and my heels down, I get stubborn, I can't be shifted. In that, God brought healing. Healing. Because I don't see Dad as Dad in law, Dad in love. He's just Dad. He is a dad to me. And I've been so incredibly grateful for that. He challenges me as well. I give a good challenge back. But it's an incredible relationship that I'm able to have because I'm not broken. God made me whole and He brought that last bit of healing in as I engaged into a relationship with my father-in-law and allowed God to use that to bring healing into my heart. God wants to bring healing and wholeness. So much so that our son Liam is a derivative of William. And so when our son was born, we named our son in honour of my father-in-law, who is William John Foster. And now we have Liam Emmanuel Foster. Because God brought healing. God brought healing. He loves to just come in and take what is broken and put it back together, but not the same way. Not the same way. Not the same way at all. He loves to make it new. He loves to make it new so we don't live back here, but we stand here and live into the future, live into what's to come. In verse 28, then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. This is Jesus. But they constrained or urged him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Jesus didn't invite himself in. He waited for the invitation. He made the look as if he was going to go on, but he waited for the invitation to say, no, come on, come stay with us. Come stay with us. In Revelation 3:20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. Jesus is just waiting for the invitation from us. He's always ready, willing and waiting. He's just waiting for us to invite him in to say, come, be a part of my life. Help me, lead me. Let's do this together. I don't want to do it on my own. Come with me. Let's go together. Verse 30. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed it, and broke it. Now, leading into his betrayal, he sat at the Last Supper with the disciples and did exactly this. He sat with them, he took the bread, he broke it, and he blessed it. So here we see that again. And he gave it to them. Then, right then, their eyes were opened. As they broke the bread, as they began to partake, then their eyes were opened and they knew him. They knew him. They knew him in that moment and he vanished from their sight. I would feel so jibbed. That it was like, wow, I finally got this revelation, this understanding that Jesus was right here with me. And now that I can see it, there he goes. Like, come on. Like, work with me, God. Now I know you're here, now I can see you, and now you just decide to pull back. He wasn't pulling back. He was just extending the hand, the invitation to trust that he was there. He was extending the invitation to trust that even if they can't see him, that he was still with them, that he was still with them. He invites us in individually, but also corporately. He invites us into a deeper relationship with him. And you know what? A lot of times that can happen just by sitting and sharing a meal. No expectations. No, oh, we're going to have this meal and this is what's going to happen. Let's just sit around a table. Let's just talk. Let's just eat. Let's just be together. Let's just do life together because it's so important. We are called to community, to not be on our own. Verse 32, and they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road? and while he opened the scriptures to us. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them that were gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and as it has appeared to Simon Peter." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. So their hearts burned. I love that the response there, though, was their response wasn't, "Well, it's late in the night, so let's just finish eating, have a shower, go to bed, we'll get up in the morning, go tell everybody." Their response was, "No, we have to go now. We have to get up. We have to tell everybody what's just happened." It was that urgency of, "I can't just sit back and wait, but I need to go." It says their hearts burned within them. Their hearts burned within them. Can I get the worship team up, please? I was thinking about it. What does it mean when your heart burns? You know, when we were playing that song just before, that chorus gets me every time. "Get up, my soul." Calling yourself out. My heart burns with that. It's like, to me, when my heart burns, it's like God's calling me to shift. Calling me to shift my position. The first time I ever experienced a burning heart, I was 7 or 8 years old. My mum was at work. I don't know where my siblings were. They were somewhere else, probably at friends' places or at work. And I hopped on the church bus with my 50 cents for fuel. I walked to the end of the street. It was about, I don't know, 500 metres or so out of my street to another street. And the church bus picked me up. And I went. I didn't have a relationship with Jesus. But in that service, my heart started to burn. I couldn't explain it. And I'm not talking about heartburn or indigestion. It's not heartburn. It's not indigestion. That's not the burning heart I'm talking about, okay? But it's that, it's like you get butterflies in your stomach. It's like this unsettling, but not in an unnerving way, not in a negative way. It's an unsettling that's, something's not quite right, but it's right. And it's that feeling of, I need to move, but where do I move to? And I was 7 or 8 years old, and the pastor did an altar call. And my friend turned to me and she said, "Do you want to go forward? Do you want to ask Jesus to come and be in your life?" And I stood there, and without even thinking, I just said yes. I was a kid. I didn't know anything. All I knew was that there was something that was right but not right. My heart was burning, and all I knew to do was to respond. And so in that, I went forward and I stood there and I asked Jesus to be a part of my life. And without question, he did and has done from that day. And it doesn't mean that I don't push God away sometimes, distance myself and just go, "Hey, I'm okay with my heart getting a little bit cold over here." It takes my intention to pull myself closer into God and allow my heart to burn. Allow my heart to burn so that I can shift. But in that saying, "God, how do I shift? How do I shift? What are you calling me to? What are you calling me to allow you to burn off? What are you calling me to shift or to grow in?" So maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you've attended different churches. Maybe you've attended this church for a while. Maybe you've never actually made that decision to say, "Hey, God, I just want to do life with you." It's not scary. Life isn't going to be perfect. I can't make that promise because it's not. But the joy in it is that we don't get to do life alone. We get to do life with Jesus. We get to do life with a community of people that stand alongside us. You know, Jesus went, the Holy Spirit came so that we could continue on the work of Jesus together, together.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope it has blessed you. If you would like to find out more about Awaken City Church, visit awakencity.com.au.